Settling in, we'll get started.
Good morning. Welcome to the April 3rd meeting of the Board of Public Works. I'm Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown presiding in lieu of Governor Martin O'Malley. It's a pleasure again to join my friends and partners in public service, the Comptroller, Peter Francho, and the Treasurer, Nancy Kopp. It's nice to see everyone here on this spring morning, although it's so chilly out. Treasurer and I were commenting that hopefully we will get a bit of a spring here in Maryland. So we're off to the start of an exciting baseball season. Right? Nationals started strong. Bryce Harper 2, Marlins 0. Orioles started off strong. Let me say at the outset, because there's just all this, you know, there was that Redskins, Ravens business and who's wearing what jerseys. I'll say at the outset of the season, I'll be rooting for both the Nationals and the Orioles. In May, when they host each other at their home parks at the last week of May, I'll probably be absent somehow, somewhere. But I guarantee that I will proclaim my allegiance to one of the two teams when they face off in the World Series before the first pitch. Look, it's great to be here. I think we've got a short agenda. But let me first turn it over to the Treasurer, who I believe has some opening remarks.
Well, talking about spring coming, first of all, I do hope it's more than just a brief spring. I mean, those of us who live in the Washington area are used to two-day springs between winter and summer, and I hope it'll be a little longer. I happen to like this weather a lot, cool but sunny. But I didn't want this morning to pass, Governor, without noting that the reason Governor O'Malley is not here, I believe, is that he is at the funeral of former delegate Jerry Curran from Baltimore City, a man with whom both the comptroller and I served for a number of years, a man who was really outstanding in the city and in the legislature, in our house, a man of great humor and really dedicated service. For a good portion of his term, Jerry was the vice chair of the Constitution Administrative Law Committee, and as the terminology went then, brought the boys behind the first woman chair of a standing committee of the legislature, Helen Koss, who I think could not have done as outstanding a job as she did without Jerry there next to her. A man dedicated to the city and dedicated to serving people, and a very good friend. And I think we will miss him. But he's one of those guys, Jerry Curran, whom you mention and you have to smile when you think of him. And that's a great legacy to leave. Thank you, Governor.
Ms. Comptroller. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, and thank you for waiting for me. I've done my share of waiting in the last 7 years. But seriously, it's great to have you here. I really value my relationship with you and frankly, the Treasurer also. We were all House colleagues, sometimes out on the hustings. I describe myself as a recovering legislator. We all, though, owe a debt of gratitude to that great House of Delegates that we served in. Thank you for being in charge today. I completely concur with the Treasurer about Jerry Curran. He was someone that, he's a little bit rough, but he was never disagreeable. He was always friendly and upfront with, regardless of the political climate, and I always valued his accessibility. He was humble and quiet, and he certainly had the respect of all of his colleagues, and was a fixture in Baltimore. So to his wife, Jeanette, and the entire Curran family, I join the Treasurer and Lieutenant Governor in wishing them our heartfelt condolences. He definitely will be missed. And just as Jerry Curran was a constant in Baltimore, Lieutenant Governor is correct. Baseball is a great constant presence for our country. I think it was in the Field of Dreams where someone mentioned, in fact, thank God for baseball because it comes around every year. It's got the same predictability and same excitement and same wonderful emotions associated with it. So I was delighted to see the Lieutenant Governor and his family at Nat Stadium for opening day. There was an electric atmosphere, 45,000 fans on hand to cheer Steven Strasburg's 7 shutout innings and 2 home runs by Bryce Harper. Anybody see that? Anybody out there know how old Bryce Harper is? 20 years old. So the future is bright. I'm going to go up. I'm sure the Lieutenant Governor will be there also to Camden Yards to watch Jake Arrieta take the mound against the Twins on Friday. Madam Treasurer, you're welcome to come join us. Madam Treasurer.
So, chronological fantasy baseball league.
Yes. So opening day, there's something special about it. People seem a little bit happier. The air is a little bit crisper. Tax day, which is a week away, is kind of in the distant future, and nobody cares about that. But last year, Lieutenant Governor, you mentioned you're rooting for both teams. I went out on a limb and predicted that the Orioles and the Nationals were going to meet in the World Series. I was a year premature, I admit. But I can't wait for that Nats-O's World Series this year. The future really is here for these baseball clubs, and it's going to be one heck of a season.
Thank you, Ms. Comptroller. Good. Let's go ahead and turn to the Secretary again this morning.
Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 13 items on the Secretary's agenda. We have 2 reports of emergency procurements. We are withdrawing item 5 and withdrawing item 13. We are prepared to answer questions on the remainder of the items.
Question on items 6 and 7, both of them together.
6 and 7 is Mr. Pettit here from the Maryland Environmental Service. Okay, these are water tower renovations. We actually have 3 in a row. Contracts from the Maryland Environmental Service being awarded to Manoan East for water tower renovations at various sites.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, so here's my question, because I'm going to vote for this. It's the low bid. But I'm told by the Baltimore and Maryland business community that if you apply for a contract in Pennsylvania or in North Carolina, and you're not a company from those states, you have about a 5% chance of getting the contract. And I notice here you've got a York, Pennsylvania company we're awarding the contract to. Then you got Baltimore, Baldwin underneath it losing out. And I guess I just, maybe the budget secretary could help me here. If someone could review the contracts that are granted by our neighboring states and see whether everyone's playing on the same level playing field as far as awarding contracts to, obviously, under the law, we can't bias it. But, I mean, maybe it's just a perception, and it's a perception without any facts behind it. But if these neighboring states of ours have figured out some way to legally award these contracts to the in-state companies, I'd like to at least be aware of it. And this, I have no problem with Minowan winning the contract. It's a good deal for the taxpayers. It's going to save us some money. But what if we're the only people that play with a level playing field? What if everybody else is employing their own people and recycling the money? Look, I don't know, so it's not your job, but Madam Secretary, maybe you could help me have some review of just...
We can look at it and make a determination to what extent we can find out what the
rest. Thank you. I'm not asking you to change anything. I'm just saying, could we please inform ourselves about whether we're the red-headed Eskimo on the East Coast as far as this... the way we sign contracts. And just look at these great Maryland companies here that did. And so, anyway, thank you for that. And then I had one other question on item 3 about, if I could, quickly, Lieutenant Governor.
Director Ben Weaver is here. This is the motion to be proposed about indoor air quality relocatable classrooms at public schools.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Liebert.
Good morning.
And thank you for your leadership. Indoor air quality, I know it is the whole nine yards as far as circulation and purity of air, and you need centralized air conditioning to provide good air quality. How about just regular air conditioning in Baltimore County, Baltimore City schools?
Well, we
and
have...
Is there a regulation for indoor air temperature?
No, there is not. The statute did not address that. The statute that we're responding to with these regulations, and there is no regulation on indoor air temperature that would require a certain temperature range. There's good practice, and that can be achieved through ventilation, natural ventilation, or can be achieved through mechanical means. Typically, now it's achieved through mechanical means.
Excellent. Well, just keep doing what you're doing, and please report back to me if you could on the shifting environment as far as basic air conditioning and temperature in the Baltimore region schools.
We will.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
No, although I would like to state for the record, Governor, that Senator DeGrange and Delegate Sophocles noted their support for the Glen Burnie Volunteer Fire Company ambulance item. That's item 11. As you know, Maryland has for a number of years contributed to helping the local volunteer firemen get proper equipment through this loan program. And this is a loan amount of $136,000 to help the Glen Burnie community. And I said I would note for them, for the record, they worked to get this, and they got it. I think that's something Jerry Curran would have said.
Okay, Lieutenant Governor, yes. Since we're congratulating folks, is Secretary Maynard here?
Yeah, he's right here.
Could he stand up, please? Because you have done a heroic effort around the demolishing the Maryland House of Corrections, and we're looking at this new contract we're awarding. But I just wanted to thank you for working with Rodney Little on the historic nature of this ancient facility. I think years ago when I first came to the legislature, the treasurer was figuring out how to demolish the thing, and now it's actually happening. But the fact that you were able to institutionalize the historic story, I guess.
Why don't you come up and tell us about that?
And is it true that 3,000 visitors went through it?
Yes, ma'am. we worked with the Historical Trust. They're a very good group to work with, and they required a number of photographs to be taken, so they took photographs of almost everything. Part of the requirement was to do interviews with ex-inmates who had done time in the House of Corrections and current inmates who had done time years ago, and employees. So they interviewed a large number of employees, large number of inmates, and then they requested that we conduct open public tours, and I attended one of those tours on Saturday and Sunday, and a couple thousand on one day and 1,000 on another day, and of a lot of former employees, a lot of children of former employees, a lot of ex-offenders, a lot of people, but it's really good to work with them. They appear to be very satisfied with the work. And as you know, this project involves inmate labor, and the first training class, you can see the first class over here, 39 inmates who are being trained in hazmat, asbestos abatement, lead paint abatement, closed confinement work, fall protection, all of those safety aspects. It was a four-week class. Every inmate that started completed. They all got certificates. They all got a certification that's a lifetime certification. When they get out, we'll give that to them, and they can get a job in industry. But it's been a great project. The cost of deconstructing compared to demolishing, putting it in the landfill, is almost just about half of what it would have been. And plus, we get the 250 inmates trained, plus we keep it out of the landfill, plus we recycle all those materials. So it's a great project, and we very much appreciate the board's support on this in the past and today.
Good job. Thank you very much, Secretary Maynard. Anything else on the Secretary's agenda? Hearing none, the Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Let's go on to the next agenda, which is the Department of Natural Resources Real Property. Good morning.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Emily Wilson with Department of Natural Resources. We have 8 items on our agenda today. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
No, I'd just like to thank you or Mr. Price or whomever it is for putting in the information about the
lighting.
Efficient lighting.
Right.
Yes, very good.
Okay, no further discussion or questions. Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All of those in favor say aye. Any opposed? None. That agenda item is approved. Next is the Department of Budget and Management. Good morning.
Lieutenant Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. There are 3 items on the department's agenda for today. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Not for me. Thank you. Seeing no, hearing no discussion or no questions, Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All those in favor say aye. And opposed? Hearing none. DBM's budget is approved. Next, University System Maryland. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Jim Sterling from the University System. We have 8 items on the published agenda this morning. Be happy to address any questions. We did also have a supplemental item number 9. That one's been withdrawn and will be brought back at the next meeting.
Yes, Mr. Comptroller.
Yes, item 4C.
Academic Commons at Salisbury.
Right. So, if I could just right off the bat say I'm a big fan of the project. It's going to accomplish a number of important goals for Salisbury. Allows for the demolition of Crothers Hall, a venerable old building. It's long outlived its life's functional, useful lifespan. So it's a great project. It's going to allow the university to move out of the old Blackwell Library, which is kind of an ancient structure, which simply has outlived its lifespan. And it's going to build a state-of-the-art facility that will attract the best students and faculty in the marketplace. And also it will provide space for the NAB Center for Delmarva History and Culture, which is the preeminent center on Eastern Shore Scholarship. So it's a great, got lots of bells and whistles. But I'd like you to explain, if you could, your decision to bypass the lower bidders, all of whom are well-known within the industry, and have a proven track record of working successfully with the university system in favor of the Gilbain Company, which, according to my briefing documents, is based in Laurel, Maryland.
They have an office in Laurel, Maryland. They're all
exactly. No, they're not based. Yeah, they're not based in Laurel, Maryland. They have a little satellite office or something over there, but it's an out-of-state company, and I think it's based up in Rhode Island. But according to my background materials, the prospective awardee team with designer Ayers St. Gross brings a superior integrated design build team and has strong experience. Went on to state the technical superiority of Gilbain's offer outweighed the fact that it was the high bidder. Could someone elaborate a little bit on this and tell me why we award to the high bidder in this instance?
Well, first of all, it's not a competitive bid situation. This one is sealed proposals with technical merit carrying greater weight than price. We think that's important. This is probably the most significant project that's been done down at Salisbury in decades, and we wanted a strong design and construction team that had worked together, had experience on these types of projects. And this particular group clearly brings that to the table.
I agree. Well, first of all, is this in the RFP that you're weighing the technical aspects more than the price?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You heard my earlier comments about out-of-state companies getting contracts from the state, and I'm not going to dwell on that here because I have great respect for the Baltimore-based design company that these folks have partnered with. But whoever's doing the contracting here, if you could make sure that these out-of-state companies are at least properly identified, because this is not Clark Construction or Whiting Turner. Gilbane is a, I agree, a national company, but it's not based here in Maryland. And so if you could help me on that, and you could basically supportive because of the great partnership they have with whatever this architectural firm is, because they are based up in Baltimore. But let me just ask while you're up here, I see that Salisbury, which is going to get this new library, is the number one ranked baseball team in the country, or spent some time as the number one ranked team, Division III, and now it's fourth. Been to a few of those games. I want to thank your athletic director and your president, your coach, for working to give Salisbury, the boys' baseball team, the opportunity to play a sport they love and balance it with a quality education and develop those values of loyalty, teamwork, and respect that we all care about in collegiate athletics.
I'll certainly pass that along, sir.
Pretty impressive that they're ranked fourth in the country. And thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
So, just to kind of kick around an idea, Madam Secretary, for sort of the board in the future has sort of a better understanding of where companies are based, and I'm not sure if this answers the mail, so just think about it and maybe come back. And you could, for example, Gilbane Building Company, you could list where their maybe their corporate headquarters is or their main headquarters are, and then indicate that, you know, whatever the appropriate, you know, designation is for what Laurel, that their Laurel office represents for them. You know, I too share the comptroller's concern, and I don't want to revisit the items from the secretary's agenda, but on some of those where there was a $30,000 difference, and I know those were the premium or the criteria was weighted more for low bid. You know, you got to ask yourself, does $30,000, if you spend $30,000 more, isn't there other benefit to the state, both state government, Maryland-based company buying more materials, and I don't know, maybe buying more materials, you know, generating more sales tax, employing more Marylanders, and what that means for Marylanders and what it means for Maryland State. So, because I think people are asking more and more, particularly in these tough times, you know, when it seems like everything we do, we attach job creation to it. You know, we want to invest more in transportation funding, so we talk about the job creation aspects of it. But then Marylanders are asking, are those Maryland jobs or are those, you know, non-Maryland jobs? And I recognize the constitutional limitations on what we're trying to achieve here, which is to do as much and much in Maryland for Marylanders as possible. But we got to look at ways. So I appreciate you raising that on the Secretary's agenda and looking at ways that we can perhaps do what other states are doing to ensure that we're awarding more and more to Maryland-based companies. Again, recognizing the limitations on that. So why don't we just see what we can do about identifying companies more accurately, kind of where they're located. Let's see. Anything else?
Pile on? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to look at, of course, where companies are headquartered is not always where the preponderance of their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
are, or the and the money spent depends on what is being bought and where. Could be interesting information, though, within the constraints of commerce, and we don't want our companies knocked out in other states.
Right.
But I would like to point out that the designer, Ayers St. Gross, is actually nationally and internationally renowned as an outstanding campus planner and architect of academic and, I think, healthcare buildings, sort of one of the unsung gems of Maryland. And it's very good to see them working not only on the University of Baltimore, where they did the law school, as I recall, but now on the Salisbury campus.
And they've done several projects for us at College Park as well.
Yeah. And the travel plazas along 95 they're doing. So I think it's also helpful, perhaps, to give greater recognition, not more money in the context, to those Maryland firms that really are doing outstanding work.
I couldn't agree with the treasurer more, and I'm voting, I voted for that because of the partnership that Gilbane had with Ayers. But I would like, since you brought the subject up, for you to itemize some of the design projects that they have had with the state, because the treasurer is right. They're very well regarded nationally and internationally. And the question is, are they regarded locally with that as translated into Maryland contracts? And since their specialty is public universities, if you could send me a list of those projects over the last few years.
We'll do.
Great. Any other discussion on that item or any of the other items on the USM's calendar?
I do have one.
Yes.
Item 8C, which I'm very pleased to see on the calendar.
Would that be a press?
Press box, yes. Actually, it's a lot more than a press box. I went up there last week and toured the university with Dr. Gibraltar, who's their really dynamic president. And we went over to the field and kicked the tires of the of their program. And it actually is so much more than a press box. The current facility is dangerous to go into and has water coming through the roof, et cetera, and is not impressive at all. But the new facility is going to be used to bring in visitors to the university, and it's so much more than a media area that I really appreciated it. But speaking of amateur athletics, there's a university, Frostburg, where literally there's a couple of feet of snow still on the ground, and they have a full program of women and men's sports, I think more than 20 teams, that they're operating on a shoestring. Their baseball team, men's baseball team, came down to the Eastern Shore and played Salisbury, who I just mentioned is ranked fourth in the country. They beat them, one out of the three games, but that's still. Then they went over and played Washington College, another powerhouse. You know, they can't play up in Frostburg because there's too much snow on the field. So these kids are, it's like a totally away schedule they have. But a very impressive program. Obviously, these athletic teams knit the community together up there. They're a great recruiting tool for Frostburg. They're totally within budget. Nobody's spending too much money. And anyway, I got involved in this press box thing because it was held up because of the minority and women-owned subs. And when we looked at that issue, apparently, thank you for pushing it through. I mean, these are all, following up on Lieutenant Governor, these are all small, independent Maryland companies, these women-owned subcontractors, so I believe. And so following along with what the Lieutenant Governor was saying about putting our taxpayer dollars into good-paying, family-supporting jobs in Maryland. Thank you for doing that, and whoever freed this up and pushed it forward. I think it's going to be a huge positive for Frostburg State, which struggles with its location, as you know, and frankly, the weather. Unfortunately, because of the delay here at the board, the ribbon cutting is not going to take place before the 2013 football season opens up. Everybody's upset about that, but we'll take what we can. Just a point that these delays do have an impact on things. But I'd like to salute the Frostburg men's baseball team for a solid season. I'd like to thank you for pushing this through the county governor, your agency staffs. And, you know, I had a great tour of Bobcat Stadium. Good project. And a university that's making all sorts of strides despite the weather and the geography.
We do have John Brewer here from Frostburg.
Oh, good. Where is he? John. Was I up there or not? Yes. It's a long way, but it was well worth it, and a very, very impressive program and leadership.
Great. Anything else on that item or any other items for the USM's calendar?
Only that I was remiss, but I think it goes without saying. And item 4C at Salisbury, that of course the chairman of the Appropriations Committee is both supportive and appreciative.
So I have heard.
Okay, hearing nothing, the comptroller moves approval, second by the treasurer, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? None. USM's calendar is approved.
Thank you.
Let's go over to the Department of Information Technology. Good morning.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Elliot Schlanger, Department of Information Technology. This morning we have five items on our agenda, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
I'm fine. Okay, seeing here no questions, no discussion. Treasurer moves approval, second by the comptroller. All those in favor say aye, aye. Any opposed?
Good work, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you. Passed once again. That agenda is approved. Next, MDOT.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Daryl Mobley, Acting Secretary for the Department of Transportation. MDOT is presenting eight items. Items 7 and 8 have been revised. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Just on item 8.
Item 8,
yeah.
Mr. Comptroller? Yes, sir. Item 8 is the standard lease contract for the lead of land facilities at the Martin Airport. It's a lease agreement contract, a standard form for it. If you have to answer any questions that you may have, we do have representatives from the department to answer any additional questions.
Yeah, no, this is fine. I'm just going to bore people with my father's 91st birthday, where he regaled us all with tales of growing up in Baltimore. And he claims that he went out to the Baltimore airport. I'm not sure whether it's Martin State Airport, but it was a dirt runway municipal airport back in the 1935. And his mother took him out there, and he claims, I have no way to dispute this, that they paid Glenn Martin $4. And he took Dad up and flew him around for a half hour over Baltimore in this huge plane that he had designed. And this is, the future of Martin Marietta and Lockheed Martin and all these great companies.
Could that possibly be true?
I would have to research.
Yes. Anyway, he was emphatic that it cost $4 and he got a half hour ride with Glenn Martin.
Wow.
Piloting. And but I assume that must have been BWI. Martin State Airport is where?
Martin State Airport is in Baltimore County.
Okay. Yep. Maybe that was named for him afterwards. But.
What?
Martin
PBY on the patrol bomber.
Yeah, well, anyway, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mr. Comptroller.
No, since we have a moment, let me just pile on that one. Not Maryland, but about 100 years ago, I was told, my grandfather, who came from Schenectady, New York, Robert has heard this, went to Manhattan, and he was always told you could tell the roofs because they looked up at the tall buildings.
Uh-huh.
So he was walking down Broadway and saw everybody looking up. And he refused to look up because he didn't want them to think he was not sophisticated, thereby missing the Wright brothers flying down. I had no idea whether that was true either, but he swore it was. Mr. Secretary, I do have one question about this, semi-related. The cuts in Washington. It was said that our airports would be among those impacted by not having air control people. Is that what's happening?
That is true, Madam Treasurer. There were five airports reported: Frederick Airport, Martin State Airport was one of them, the Eastern Airport, and it was the control towers, their contract staff, and the. Sequestration would go into effect to reduce the air tower support for those facilities.
And so what does that mean? In terms
What that means is the airport will still remain open. Pilots will be able to still come in and out of the airport, but they will not have the assistance from air tower controllers.
So they just talk to each other? And what do they do?
They'll be able to communicate on their own.
So say, hey, guy, I'm coming in. Stay away. You go next. I mean, how will we know how safe it is?
Obviously, I mean, we would certainly like to make sure that those towers are manned so that we can provide that guidance for the aircraft coming in and out, for the small aircraft coming in and out. But without that assistance, there will be some challenges.
When does this begin?
I'm sorry?
When does this begin?
It's scheduled to begin this month in April, I believe 2 weeks from now.
Huh. Well, will you keep us informed?
I certainly will keep you.
Things?
I certainly,
you don't want to read it on the front page.
No. I certainly will keep you informed.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else on MDOT's calendar? Okay, hearing none, Treasurer moves approved. Second by the Comptroller. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? None. That's approved. DGS, final calendar for the day.
Good morning, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Al Collins, Secretary of Department of General Services. The department has 9 items on our agenda today, and be glad to answer any questions you have at this time. Mr. Comptroller, I will add that I learned to fly out of Martin State, and I highly recommend it. Uh-huh. But I started in Essex Airport where there was no control tower. And it's those are days when, as you well know, they can be rough. So I'm concerned as the Secretary is about the loss of those folks who really keep us safe out there.
You have a pilot's license?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Do you fly now?
After September 11th, it just got too crazy in this area, so I retired myself.
Excellent. Move approval. Okay, seconded by the Treasurer. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. That concludes our business.
Mr. Governor, before we adjourn, now that most of the people have cleared the room, it would be remiss if I did not introduce my husband, Mr. Compton. Some of you know and don't care.
Welcome to the board.
In almost 40 years, Robert has not come too often to an airport. But it's, yes, smart man. Hey. Thank you.
Anything else?
Great. Thank you, everybody.
Good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.